The House Resources Committee is called to order. President Representative Seaton, Rosas, Wilson, Co-Chair Gatto, and Co-Chair Johnson. Before us today, we have House Bill 243, Coastal Management Plan. And I saw the sponsor here. There he is. And Representative Jewell, welcome. And we were just discussing, it's been a long time since you've been in this room, and we'd like to see you back more. Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the House Resources Committee. You are correct. I have not been in this room since I used to sit on the Resources Committee, and that is back in the year of our Lord.
Does that start with a B or an A?
Yeah, hopefully not going to start with an 18.
Representative Joe, before you get started, I would like to make a statement, if I could. It is my intention to take testimony on this bill, to hear it and set it aside. There is a Regulation Review Committee meeting tomorrow that will be taking some of these issues up. Hopefully, they can meet the satisfaction of the sponsor. But we want to keep this before us in the event that those things don't work out in a satisfactory manner. With that, I'd like to welcome the remainder of the committee, Guttenberg, Edgman, and Kirkwall. And Representative Jewell, sorry for the interruption, but please go ahead.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, for the record, my name is Representative Reggie Jewell, House District 40. Cover not quite all of the land above the Arctic Circle, but most of it. And I thank you for scheduling and hearing this bill, Mr. Chairman. And you're right, we did talk before this, and actually for a few days, and have agreed to hold the bill, but have the hearing and the public comment, and I appreciate that. House Bill 243 establishes a 7-person Alaska Coastal Zone Policy Board that would consist of three resource agencies, DNR, Department of Natural Resources, Environmental Conservation, and the Fish and Game Department, with 4 regions of the state covered all of the coastal communities, districts of the state. And those would be, if this bill were to become law, would be governor appointments. And that's in comparison to the old board that used to be in place, that it was made up of 14 people, of which 9 members were from coastal communities and 5 used to be from the agencies. The policy board would approve the regulation changes and district policies. And it would give an opportunity to provide the kinds of balance that is needed in reviewing these. This would allow areas impacted by development to become part of the process again. You know, if you look at my district from the Canadian border down to Shishmaref, you know, that includes Prudhoe Bay, that includes Anwar, and includes much of where we are going to continue to explore for oil and gas, and includes the coal fields of around Point Lay, includes the Red Dog Mine, the Ambler District, much of the resource wealth of this state. And this brings the local people back to the table. And this, excuse me, and who would know better about how to develop those resources than a partnership between the state of Alaska and the stakeholders? And, you know, I might add that in the history of the coastal zone, there have been many projects that have come to fruition. The Greens Creek Mine here in Juneau, the Red Dog Mine up in the Kotzebue area, the Kensington Mine, all OCS oil and gas lease sales, all NPRA lease sales, Alpine Development, Liberty Development Project, North Star Development Project, Badami, Prudhoe Bay Developments, Kaparuk Developments, the drill sites, cruise ship docks here in Juneau, Auk Bay, processing plant. Now, these are a few of the projects that over the years, that with a policy board in place, are projects that have moved forward. There's not been any projects because of local involvement that has been stopped. So this gets to getting to development by being inclusive and truly partners with people in those areas. And as many of you know, there's been no stronger supporter of something, say, like Anwar, on land kind of development. And the Red Dog Mine, I sat on the board of directors for Nana Regional Corporation when the Red Dog Mine was being considered. We went out to look for a partner and develop that. Because for those parts of Alaska, what development brings in those areas, responsible development brings, as an opportunity, in addition to jobs, spreading the economic wealth around the state. DNR, even with this board, would still determine if consistent review criteria is met, and they would retain that authority, Mr. Chairman. You know, Alaska's coastal zone includes more than 44,000 miles of coastline, and it can extend inland along river drainages as far as 250 miles. And I know there's some problems with that, and I acknowledge that, but this is actually a smaller district than what used to be in place. This mirrors what the federal government has done, and in some places even further have been eliminated in that change. This would bring DEC, water and air quality, back into this arena, and they would receive consistent reviews, important because of proposed development on the OCS, Outer Continental Shelf. You know, when we passed HB 191 a few years ago under the prior administration, that bill has had some opportunity to see whether or not it will work. And I think what you will hear from coastal communities today is that it has not worked. And they're very dissatisfied with the process. And they have given it some time. And because it hasn't worked, we've been asked to put forward this piece of legislation. And with that, Mr. Chairman, again, I thank you for the opportunity to hear this bill. I would take any questions, and I'm sure that there's a slew of folks that may want to testify, and get on with that after answering any questions.
Thank you, Representative Joe. Are there any questions for Representative Joe before we start public testimony? Before we start, I'd like to recognize Representative Kawasaki came in quite some time ago and has been here most of the time. Representative Roses?
Thank you. Representative Jewell, thank you for presenting this to us. You made a statement in there, and correct me if I misunderstood what you said, but did I hear you say that there have been no projects when local participation was engaged in the process that had been stopped? Was that what I heard you say?
That is correct.
And what's been the history since HB 191 passed?
Well, the local people haven't been, you know, this by having a coastal policy board, it has allowed the different entities to come to the same place to address all of these issues, sitting at the same table, as opposed to each doing it in isolation. One of the things that has occurred, and oh, by the way, you know, with the prior, and I'll get to your question in a long-winded kind of way, is that in the prior board, where we had a much bigger board and actually had even farther-reaching authority, there was no mediation at any time in the process as they went along and did their reg reviews and all of these things. Since 191 has taken place, there's been at least three requests for mediation from coastal districts. So, and each of the agencies kind of has to do their stuff in isolation, and it, in my opinion, it's been rather exclusive for DNR to take some of these issues on their own. And quite frankly, you know, when it and I hear this a lot as we move throughout different areas, people refer to the Constitution and how we're going to develop our resources to the maximum benefit of all of the people of the state of Alaska. I think this falls directly in that when we're talking about bringing them to the table to help in those parts of the decision as well. And so I think I've in part answered your question, Representative Roses.
I think so. Let me summarize it and make sure that I have it accurate. You said prior to House Bill 191 passing that there had been no need for mediations, that there hadn't been any projects stopped, but since then, to the best of your knowledge, there have been three that have been pushed to mediation. Have there been any lawsuits that have been filed as a result of any decisions that have been made?
I'm not sure how to answer that one. I know there's lawsuits out there, but I think that's, or has been a lawsuit out there, and it has to do with the Outer Continental Shelf issues. And I think that's one of the issues that in it that we can probably avoid a lot, you know, some of that by bringing, and I think if part of your question is can we avoid lawsuits by bringing people in to be part of the process, I think for the most part the answer to that question would be yes. I don't know who would be there for all instances, but I think for the most part that would be affirmative to that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I may have more questions as we proceed.
Thank you, Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Jules, does your district include boroughs?
My district includes the entirety of the North Slope Borough and the entirety of the Northwest Arctic Borough, as well as Shishmaref.
Representative Seaton.
I guess my concern is that the impetus for 191 or the change that was made during the Murkowski administration was to streamline things. And yet, one of the things that happened under consistency reviews was everybody had to solve everything at one table. And now, with this broken apart, municipalities, that is boroughs, can have, if they have an ordinance or code covering that, then those are outside the consistency review, and those permits have to be settled separately. Is that your understanding? And have any of your municipalities adopted, or did they adopt prior to implementation date of 191, any of these areas of into their code, so that there's another permitting process is now required in addition to the consistency review?
In trying to meet the intent of what passed and the changes of 191. I know there have been efforts by the two coastal communities of both boroughs that have been very, very active in developing their local policies and has submitted them to DNR. And I think there are people from both districts that can answer that question better than I, but I do know that in one of the districts, I think out of maybe 40 some policies that were advanced for approval, one was taken from DNR and granted for approval. So there's not been a lot of success. There's been a lot of effort, but when you just have one entity that's in control, it's difficult to, and it has been difficult, I think, for the coastal communities to feel like they're making any progress, and it has generated a lot of frustration.
Representative Seaton, follow up.
And I guess I'd just like to follow up so that when the boroughs, if they're testifying, if they could let us know, because I know the Kenai Peninsula Borough adopted into municipal code a number of those policies. And so now if someone wants to get a project, not only do they have to go through the consistency review, they also have to go for those same things to the borough and get a borough permit. So unfortunately, you know, the streamlining process that we had actually resulted in two sets of permits in those areas. And so what I'm wondering, and you may or may not know that, but maybe the boroughs, when they testify, can let us know whether they've adopted into municipal code or whether they did prior to the enactment those policies, so that they're now enforceable on a borough level as well, independently of the consistency review.
And I'm sure
Representative Stephen, we do have the Northwest Arctic Borough, Sitka Borough, Juneau here to testify. So you go questions at that time.
Very thank good. You.
Sure. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You said that there were three different cases where there were mediation. Were they all in the same area, or were they different parts of the state? Or
I think there's a case in, I believe it, no, they're in different parts. I think two of the mediation cases might be in the northern part of the state, and one of them might be down here in southeast. But if I remember correctly.
Okay. Thank you.
Representative Faircloth.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Jewell, could you speak to the CS, and does it still include a transfer of grant management responsibilities to a policy board versus an actual department?
And this one, I may ask Christine. My aide Christine has to give me some assistance. If you can move forward, just bring a chair.
Yes, it's still in.
Would you identify yourself for the record?
I'm Christine Hess. I'm chief of staff for Representative Jewell, and yes, it is still in there.
Okay, I understand it. Could you speak to why that's a good thing to have a policy board that has a conflict of interest, because they have a vested interest, and so they have a conflict in managing grants? At least that's what DNR had said to us in the last committee. Can you speak to that potential conflict of interest?
Well, I guess I would say, first of all, the coastal district representatives would be representing all coastal districts in the best interest of all the coastal areas. And they would probably be in the best position to know how the grant money could be used in the unique circumstances of each of their districts. They would be uniquely qualified to understand the grants.
And Representative Faircloth, because I'm not sure anyone else has heard this bill before, if you'd bring that back up with the department so that they could answer that as well, I'd certainly appreciate it at that time. But I'd like to hear their answer as well.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Were you finished? Was that?
Well, on the C version on page 8, there's another issue, and I thought since the representative had heard the past people testify, that he might be able to clarify for this committee before we hear.
And Representative Faircloth, I wasn't trying to discourage you from getting the question now. I was just trying to encourage you to remember when the department was here
right.
to get the answer there as well. And where are you referencing again?
Well, I'm on version C is what I have highlighted right now, and I'm looking at section 4640040, and there's a I know that the C version is not what we have in front of us. Under 4640040E, there is an issue about the DEC already does the subparagraph, is what we heard in the last committee, and it was testified to that this particular provision would create confusion amongst the departments, because we'd have the right hands pointing at the left hand. So I was wondering if Representative Jewell had something to counter that, because it moved out of committee before we got to ask those questions. And so I can wait until we hear all the public testimony, Mr. Chairman. It's just that so that the committee already understands it, then when other people testify in opposition, we might have a different question.
Okay. And Representative Faircloth, I understand that you had version C that you're looking at?
Version C is where my notes were at.
I got you. But we are, E is the one that passed out of, I just want to make sure I'm dealing off the same page. E is what passed out of the CRA committee?
Oh, no, absolutely not. Nothing passed out of the, okay. C passed out of the committee, so I'm not sure where E came from.
Okay.
To that point, Mr. Chairman, there are people with far greater expertise online than I that can address that issue. So I'm
and
glad
my question is, we do have an e-version that I'm looking at, and I understand C passed out of your committee. I am not prepared to adopt E at this point, because this is a primarily a discussion, and I want to have a lot of options at my disposal, as it were. Representative Edgman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess while we have the bill sponsor in front of us, and I too am not an expert on the subject, but obviously as a co-sponsor of the bill, I'm very supportive of the sponsor's efforts here. But I think it's worth putting on the record to get his viewpoints on the issue of subsistence and how important it is to get that local voice weighing in on any activities related to subsistence in terms of development.
Thank you for that question, Mr. Representative Edgman, through the chair. The issue of subsistence and why the inclusion of that issue in this bill is, let's just get the issue out there. Subsistence has always been a big issue in any development that has occurred, especially in rural Alaska. And quite frankly, we know why these companies are here, and we agree with why they're here. By golly, they want to invest a lot of money, to make money, to provide jobs, to get our resources to market. Our interest, and one of the reasons that I feel this needs to come back with local folks, is when they're all done, all of Alaska is going to need the renewable resources that are going to remain. The fish, the berries, the animals. For those of us who choose to make this our home, that's part of the magic of this state and the people that depend on those resources, irregardless of what kind of user you are, whether it's subsistence or sports or anything. And there is nobody better to find the balance of how development can occur and still provide for safeguards of subsistence than the local people. They can find that balance, and I think that much of what has happened on the North Slope of Alaska and much of what has happened with the Red Dog Mine are excellent examples where we've been able to forge ahead with those things in mind. And for those of you who may not know this, outside of the coastal zone, in the Red Dog Mine, the agreement with Nana Regional Corporation is that they have a subsistence committee. That subsistence committee has the option to close down the mine if things begin to run awry. That mine has been operating for years. It's not happened. There can be a balance, and that's, I think, just one of the many, and I hope, Bryce, that Representative Edgman, that gets to your question.
Follow-up, Representative Edgman?
It does, and thank you for that response. And just a quick observation. Representative Jewell, you just mentioned the Prudhoe Bay, Red Dog, certainly the Chukchi oil lease sale. I think it's the second largest in the United States, if not the first, if my memory is correct. But in my district, we have the largest sockeye fishery in the world. We have the billion-dollar ground fishing center in Unalaska. We've got the Pebble Mine. We've got a potential offshore lease sale, not to mention the crab fishery out in St. Paul. So I'll stop there for a moment, but just to underscore to the committee how important that this local voice can be properly utilized. Thank you.
Representative Bettenberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And perhaps it's a technical question. I have version C before me, which is E, which is appears to be the CNRRA version. Is there any other thing before us? Is this what passed out of CNRRA?
My understanding is that C was a work draft, became E, and E is what passed out of the committee.
Okay.
That's my notes from my staff, and Representative Faircloth, if you were there, you might have something different to say.
Mr. Chairman, I was just going to clarify for the record. I don't know what passed out because I didn't approve it passing out. And I had a C working document that I made all my notes on to ask Representative Jewell additional questions on. And when Representative Newman left the room prior to it going out of committee, he had the C version also. But I have an A, a C, and an M, so I don't know if E is what we passed out. We would have to check with the clerk, so I would defer to your staff what they received. But
my staff indicates that C was a work draft and became E, and we are working off of E.
Yeah.
I have A, C, and M.
Yeah. So would you like an E copy? We can certainly get you
one. I have
an
E copy also.
Okay. We have multiple copies, but we will be working off the E, as that's what came to us. Follow-up, Representative Bettenberg?
Nope, that was...
Thank you. Representative Faircloth?
No, that was it, sir. I just wanted to clarify that I didn't know which version.
I understand that. Are there any additional questions for the sponsor, Representative Goddard?
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Representative Jewell, this looks like a heck of a fiscal note. $1.3 million?
Pardon me? I'm sorry.
Big fiscal note?
No. The fiscal note that I have in front of me, through the chair, Representative Gatto, as a fiscal note. Now, you may have received additional fiscal notes that I have not received as a committee, but the fiscal note that I have is 117.2. That's the fiscal note that I have. If you've got something else, that's news to me. And I would thank the departments for communicating that to us. And I see what you're referencing, and I'd be very interested to hear the discussion on that.
Certainly, and they will have an opportunity to defend that fiscal note in a moment. Follow-up, Representative Gatto, or is that it?
Well, I had one for 1.18 million, one for 10,000, and one for 117,000, total of 1.13 million.
Well,
a lot of money to start up a committee.
Representative Jewell, and I wouldn't expect you to defend the fiscal note. I would expect that to be the department, but you may address it if you'd like.
Just to say this, Mr. Chairman, I had not been made aware of those fiscal notes, and should this bill at some point move it out of committee, that would ensure that it goes to finance, and so this is by no means done.
That is a safe bet that it would go to finance with that fiscal note. Any additional questions for the sponsor at this time? With that, I'd like to begin. I think it would probably be a good idea to bring up Randy Bates with DNR and enter his testimony. And I think that's the only department person. I have Department of Law, Lindsay Woolton, for questions. And I think those are the only department people that I have. So with that, and also have Dan Easton for questions with DEC. So Randy, if you'd like to come forward, put yourself on the record, and tell us what you think about HB 243.
Thank you. For the record, my name is Randy Bates. I'm the director of the Division of Coastal and Ocean Management within the Department of Natural Resources. Co-Chair Johnson, Co-Chair Gatto, thank you for the opportunity to be here, members of the committee. On behalf of the administration, the Department of Natural Resources, and the Division of Coastal and Ocean Management, I do appreciate the opportunity to be here and provide testimony on version E of CSHB 243. There's three topics I'd like to address today. The first is a brief overview of the Alaska Coastal Management Program. The second topic is DNR's scheduled program reevaluation. And the third topic I'd like to address is our comments on the proposed legislation. First, an overview of the Alaska Coastal Management Program. You should have a flyer, a front and back, a colored flyer in front of you. We delivered that to the committee. It gives you a very brief but important overview of what the coastal management is. I will run through some very important facts for you. First, the ACMP, or the Alaska Coastal Management Program, is a federally authorized state program. Resource development projects located within or affecting the coastal zone of the state and that require certain state or federal permits are subject to the ACMP. This means that resource development projects, must comply with the enforceable policies of the ACMP, the state regulations, and the coastal district enforceable policies. The ACMP is a networked program, and that involves and balances the state resource agencies, local government, applicant, and public interests in the review of these resource development projects. The ACMP serves as the state's voice on activities requiring federal agency permits and on federal agency activities that affect the coastal uses and resources of the state's coastal zone. This is a critically important program. it's critically important, especially when you realize that it is our only, the state's, one of the state's only formal entrees into the decision-making that occurs on federal lands, be in the vast outer continental shelf or the expanse of federal lands that are within the coastal zone. There were statutory and regulatory changes that were made in 2003 that substantially affected the coastal program. It is these changes that have frustrated and distanced the coastal districts. Some of the statutory changes made in 2003, among other things, required a rewrite of the ACMP implementing regulations and required that all coastal districts revise their coastal management plans to comply with the new rules. As of today, there are 28 coastal districts participating in the coastal management program. There are 18 of those 28 plans that are in effect. There are two plans that have been through the DNR and the federal review and approval process, but they're pending local adoption, meaning the assemblies or councils of the governing body of the coastal district must adopt those plans. There are four plans.
Representative Gatto?
I heard you use the words in effect or ineffective, and I didn't know which one you said.
Representative Gatto, through the chair, let me be very clear. They are in effect.
Okay.
Meaning projects that are proposed within the areas of the coastal districts must comply with those enforceable policies. They are in effect. To continue, there are four plans that are pending federal review. It means we've submitted them to our federal granting agency, who has federal oversight and approval authority. The response from the federal agency is due April 21st. There is one plan that is in the final mode of revision. It has been through DNR review and approval, and it is pending submission for federal review. There are three coastal district plans that are still under mediation. Representative Jewell mentioned that process.
Randy, can you tell me which ones those are?
The coastal districts that remain under mediation are the North Slope Borough, the Northwest Arctic Borough, and the Bering Straits Coastal Resource Service Area.
Before we go on, do I understand that you said 18 of 28 have been approved, and then you started going through some numbers? So do I understand that, if I added up, I got 24 of 28. Were those cumulative, or exactly how many have been approved or in the process of being approved or being mediated? But as you started guessing, two were this, three were this, mm-hmm. I thought I came up with 24, and then you say three are in some type of action that probably haven't been approved. So can you just tell me the number? We have 18 that have been approved, and we have three that are in some, okay. Do I have that?
Chair Johnson, hopefully my math adds up. What I'll do is, thank you.
Provide you a copy. We'll wait to get the paper. Go ahead and continue your testimony then.
When you do get a copy, I did not put a date on that. If you could put today's date, I'd appreciate that, just so we know as of today, this is the plan. 28 districts, 18 in effect, two through departmental and federal review, four pending federal review, one pending submission, and three subject to mediation. That should add to 28.
Okay. Is it 28?
4, 5, 6, 10, okay. 11.
All right. Go ahead. You need to be on the Finance Committee. Go ahead, Randy.
Thank you. It is the coastal district frustration with these coastal plan rewrites that has led us to this CS, HB 243, and the companion bill on the Senate side. Second topic I'd like to talk quickly about is the Department of Natural Resources scheduled program evaluation. You should have a letter in your packet from me dated February 22nd. DNR does recognize that the coastal district, it does recognize the frustrations of the coastal district and the distance that has been created in the partnership. And we know that the coastal district's pain and anger is real. In response to these questions and requests and others to make additional ACMP changes, I did issue that letter on February 22nd, which outlines a proposed reevaluation of the Coastal Management Program. Thank you. It lays out the reevaluation, what we intend to accomplish, the steps we intend to take, and the timelines in which to accomplish this reevaluation of the rules. At a minimum, the reevaluation will address the following three topics. Number one, the DEC carve-out. Number two, the coastal district authority and ability to write enforceable policies to address coastal uses and resources important to the coastal district. And number three, the scope of the project that is subject to the consistency review under the ACMP. Also contained within the letter is the timeline we intend to accomplish these. This reevaluation, it is aggressive, but here's what it looks like. July 2008, we intend to initiate a 30-day public comment period to solicit input on the suggested statutory and regulatory revisions. Following that, in August to October of this coming year, we intend to develop a statutory package for your review. In November and December, we will be holding workshops with the interested participants to go over those revisions. We will initiate another public review and comment period. Finalize it in December of this coming year. I will be back, hopefully before all of you, in January 2009 to introduce the bill and work it through through the various committees. We expect that hopefully it will be done in March, passed and signed into law, and we can embark on the regulation revisions that will be necessary as a result of the statutory revisions.
Mr. Chairman?
Before you, I have a question before you. So it appears that from having to introduce new legislation that HB 191 has not been effective, and you don't think you can work within the regulations or the statutes laid out in 191 and just do regulations. You think you're going to have to come back before the legislature to enact new statutes? Is that accurate?
Chair Johnson, certainly we have implemented to the best of our ability the provisions of HB 191. As you're hearing today and as we've heard for the last couple years, there are challenges and difficulties and differences of opinion about how effective HB 191 was. Originally, what we wanted to be able to accomplish was get through the program changes that were mandated under House Bill 191 in 2003, be able to finish those, which is going to occur in hopefully June, July of this year, take a year, implement the program, evaluate its effectiveness, and identify tweaks that may be needed. We understand there's tweaks. Based on this legislation, based on the Senate companion bill, based on the desires we heard from the various districts and other participants, we've upped that the time frame for that reevaluation. We recognize there are tweaks to the statutes we may need to make, or we may recommend that you make, to have a better balanced, more robust coastal program that is effective for all the participants.
And one other thing, are we jeopardizing any federal participation by being that long? Are there deadlines with the federal programs that are in place? Are we extending beyond what they're allowing? We're not pushing up against those limits, are we?
Chair Johnson, the answer is no. We have full approval of our existing program that was promulgated or that was put in place under House Bill 191 with the subsequent revisions that were made in Senate Bill 102, Senate Bill 46. Our program is approved. It remains approved. They did an evaluation of our program this summer and found it preliminarily to be absolutely compliant. It has been our desire to reevaluate the program, recognizing that maybe we could do better business. We just want to have that open forum to make this evaluation, have this discussion. If there are no changes, we'll come back with no changes, but at least an overview of where we're at. If there are changes, which we fully expect, we'll be back with justification for those.
Thank you. Representative Edgman?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm just trying to get a better sense of the real timeline involved in all of this, because if you have to do the scheduled program evaluation and then come back to the legislature with a bill potentially in January 2009, course, the bill has to run its course, and you have to write regulations on top of the bill, I'm going to assume. Then it's got to go to the federal counterpart for approval on top of that. So, I mean, that could be 2010 or even later than that. And it just ties in, Mr. Chairman, to I spent a couple hours last night looking at the minutes from the committee hearings, and Boy, the list is Juneau, Kenai, Anchorage, Lake and Pen, North Slope, Yakutat, Sitka, Northwest Arctic Borough, Kodiak, and I'm sure Bristol Bay is probably in there as well. A real sense of disenfranchisement. And so I'm just wondering if the timeline, which ultimately may get you there, really is conducive to having strong local participation, maybe in the next couple of years, with some pretty important projects that may be online, as you referenced, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Edgman, through the chair. I appreciate your question or comment. Certainly it is aggressive as the time frame goes, and having been through the changes for the last 5 years, I can tell you nothing comes easy. We do look forward to engaging this discussion. I think that the legislation before you is representative of what many of the coastal districts might suggest as the changes already. What we want to be able to do with this reevaluation is make sure that all of the participants are heard from, which include our sister agencies within the state agencies, the federal agencies that participate, the industry that is, of course, affected by these changes and the coastal program, and the interested public that we know is participating out there. It's incumbent upon my division, the department, and the administration to run a good open forum process here to make sure that what we do come back with in statutory proposals is unified and has the buy-in as much as possible from the parties that are involved. That's our goal. That's my plan. Otherwise, we do jeopardize our time frames here, and we do jeopardize the coastal program and moving forward in unity.
Mr. Chairman, I'll just stop there. I've got other questions. I'll wait.
Thank you, Representative Gutenberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I said, I think where Representative Rose's was, when 191 passed out of here, I think Representative Seaton was here with me. I remember if you were here on this committee, Carl. It didn't make sense to me then. So what I want to go back a little bit, do you remember what the fiscal note was when we passed 191?
Representative Guttenberg, through the chair, off the top of my head, no, I don't. I don't have a specific number for you, no.
If I may, Mr. Chair. You mentioned approval by the feds for policies by the state. What I remember is one of the key things in my mind was what 191 was, it took out the councils, which was the place where all the districts came together to move forward for federal approval through the state. And you said the feds are approving what the result is now. Are they just accepting what's given to them by the state without having a council, without having the districts as actively involved as they were before? Are they just taking what the state gives them without actually looking what the districts might have been?
Representative Guttenberg, through the chair. The structure of the coastal management program, be it Alaska, Texas, or any of the other 35 coastal states around the nation, it is dependent upon what the state needs. There are a handful, very few, coastal states who have a policy council or similar governing body overseeing their program. There are some, but there has been a move recently, I believe, from some states to go back to a single agency managing the program, moving away from a council. The federal agency, when they reviewed our changes in 2003, which did eliminate the Coastal Policy Council, was thorough. They conducted the NEPA process, created an environmental impact statement, and it was our changes were evaluated rigorously against federal law. The decision on their part to approve the coastal program as amended was based on the fact that we still were managing comprehensively all of the resources we identified as necessary for management within the coastal zone. They did not simply agree with the state because that's what we wanted to do. Certainly it's our prerogative. It's a voluntary program. We put forward what we believe is the right program. They respond making sure that it meets certain criteria in federal law.
And another quick follow-up. On the fiscal note, it's got your name on it from March 20th. The $890,000. Can you talk to me a little bit about what that's for? A little bit more detail on what's in the fiscal note.
Representative Guttenberg, through the chair, if I could confirm, you would just ask a question about House Bill 191. Now you're referring to House Bill 243?
Yes, I'm referring to 243, the fiscal note that we have.
Okay. And Representative Guttenberg, through the chair, your question is based on the fiscal note, just for my own purposes, dated March 20th, correct?
Yes. Okay. Travel is at $284,000 and contractual is at $890,000.
Right.
So,
thank you.
The contractual is what I'm interested in, a little bit more detail.
Sure. It does, Representative Guttenberg, within the fiscal note itself, it does lay out just the bare bones of why that money is necessary. Quickly on the travel, of course, when you convene a coastal policy board, council, or other entity, it does take money to pay them for per diem travel and their various expenses. Specific to contractual, this bill, of course, affords the coastal districts the opportunity to continue to revise their district plans based on information that we have from the last round of coastal plan revisions. We believe that this money would be necessary to afford and assist the coastal districts in making those revisions. I don't know that it would cover everything they need to do, but it would certainly go a distance towards affording them the money to make the changes they would like.
Thank you. Representative Seaton?
Thank you. Just to clarify something, Mr. Bates, I mean, it was kind of said that the federal government analyzed and adopted this plan as if that was the entire process and it wasn't a political process. The federal government was denying this plan, and the governor and your agency finally came in and said that they were going to terminate the coastal zone plan for Alaska entirely if it wasn't adopted. Isn't that correct? So it's not just a strict analysis is how this was approved by the federal government.
Representative Seaton, through the chair, I don't know that at any time the federal government, the granting agency, the Office of Ocean and Coastal Resource Management, threatened denial of the program changes that were promulgated under House Bill 191. There was a review process that was rigorous, as I mentioned, and we spent a lot of time from the state side and the federal side evaluating those changes and determining whether the changes were compliant with federal law.
So you're not aware of Jim Clark and the governor's statement that we would pull out of ACMP if these weren't approved, and in the end they finally got approved? You're not aware of that?
Representative Seaton, through the chair, certainly I'm aware of the situation where we believed as a state we had an approvable program as it existed under House Bill 191. And as the federal law states, Alaska Coastal Management and every other state, it's a voluntary coastal program, and OCRM, the federal granting agency, is there to assist the states in putting together a program that is best for the state. We believed at the time that the federal government was trying to dictate from the Beltway what was best for Alaska. There was a difference of opinion about what was approvable. We went through the process to work with OCRM, evaluate compliance. We ultimately created matrices for each law, how we met it. And in the end, OCRM, through no strong-arming, I don't believe, came out with an objective evaluation approving the coastal program. There were high stakes, absolutely. But it was a definitive.
Representative Seaton, follow-up.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and you know, I think the press reports and everything at the time will verify exactly how that process went. But I guess I was concerned about your statement that you want to wait to come forward with a different bill, although you're identifying that this bill here probably contains the majority or contains what would be proposed by the local district. And, I mean, this is a pretty open process. Are you saying your sister agencies aren't available or haven't had the ability to come testify and have their input on the bill that's before us?
Representative Seaton, through the chair. Certainly, this is an open process. What we want to assure in our reevaluation is that we take the time, we have the discussions, we have the workshops, we have some amendments that we float back and forth, and that we come out with a plan, statutory revisions of a basic structure that is reflective of all participants' needs in the program. We intend to do that through time and through an open open discussion. Commissioner DNR Commissioner Irwin, at a press conference when asked about our time frame, made the statement that we have all the time to get it right. We don't want to rush to get it wrong. And that's certainly our feeling at this point. There's coastal management is critical. We want to make sure we get it right. We want to take the time to work with the participants and bring it back to next session with a package that should fly through.
Representative Seaton, follow-up.
And I just wanted to ask, have you or your sister agencies brought forward amendments to this that you would like to see to this bill, or are you basically either satisfied with this bill, or are you just not offering amendments to the current bill before us?
Representative Seaton, through the chair. The administration, the department, and the division opposes this bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you. Representative Faircloth.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll be brief, but okay. To Representative Seaton, one of the issues that we had in community regional affairs, and I don't mean to, I'm fine to lose a battle and have a vote go down, however that goes, but one of the issues was that we did have questions in community and regional affairs. And I was outvoted as chairman, and it moved off before we could even look at the considerations that were brought up. And so it's before you today, and I hope the same thing doesn't happen again. But there are some issues, and I do support Representative Jewell in his effort to involve the communities and make sure that we do something right. And I certainly am not trying to slow it down, but there are some big issues at stake that we need to make sure are handled appropriately. And so when you're asking questions about process, I would just say that so far the process I've been involved in certainly was hurried. Minimal. I wasn't given the opportunity.
Representative Gatto.
In travel, $284,000 and each year, does that include the per diem?
Representative Gatto, through the chair. Yes, it should include per diem. It should include travel, hotel, okay. And necessary costs.
And how much is the per diem?
Representative Gatto, through the chair, I believe it's $60 per day. I could certainly look into that and confirm the number. I'm not positive what it is for boards, but I think it's statutorily regulated.
Mr. Bates, I'm going to ask that you stick around, but we have some people that have flown in, and I certainly greatly appreciate people who come to Juneau. As difficult as it is, and I certainly do not want to miss an opportunity to have them testify, so stick around. There may be more, but I certainly want to give the public an opportunity to weigh in here.
Mr. Chair, I appreciate the opportunity, and I will wait.
Take copious notes. I think the Edward, and I'm going to butcher this, is it they?
It's
Oh, it's an I, okay. Okay. Thank you for helping me with that. Please identify yourself and who you represent and present your testimony, please.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Edward Itta. I'm the mayor of the North Slope Borough. And I also always like to note that I'm a whaling captain and a hunter and a very active subsistence user, along with my job representing the Inupiaq of the North Slope Borough. I appreciate this opportunity to speak with the committee today, and I thank you for considering House Bill 243, which deals with what used to be one of Alaska's most successful examples of federal, state, and local co-management, the Alaska Coastal Management Program. Excuse me. The previous administration pushed for and got wholesale changes in the ACMP, and while I believe that their intentions were honorable, the effect has been to strip meaningful local involvement out of the process. Thank you. And I think that's important. That's a key word on local involvement. The original ACMP was brilliantly conceived in that it brought together the interest of the developers with the concerns of the local residents, resulting in development that had local buy-in, support, in other words, because they had involvement. Using the original ACMP, I would like to echo Representative Jewell's words. On the North Slope, the overwhelming majority of projects went through without a hitch, and they had the local seal of approval when they went forward. And I believe that was a recipe for stability in the development process. This version of House Bill 243 helps to recapture part of the original program's success. So I want to express our support for this bill before you today. I believe it would solve many of the problems and the frustrations, as Director Bates acknowledged, that we have faced under current ACMP regulations. I recognize that it may be tough to get all the way back to the original program, but this bill does fix some of the most troublesome aspects of the current law. The North Slope Borough supports responsible resource development, and for over 20 years, the ACMP was the important way, and again, I'll use a word that's being said more often, as we hear the testimony, is that it was an important way to find a balance between development and protection of coastal resources and uses. But as changes have been implemented in recent years, that balance has been lost. Almost all of our proposed enforceable policies that were submitted have been denied by the state, so we have had to rely on our Title 29 planning and zoning process for local input. While the permit process is an effective tool, we miss the opportunities provided by the former Coastal Management Program to work cooperatively with state and federal agencies in developing compatible permit stipulations. The bill before you would help restore a meaningful ACMP. Most importantly, it would make clear that coastal districts may establish meaningful enforceable policies. That's very important to us. We believe House Bill 191, passed in 2003, which was discussed a little bit earlier, would have allowed us to do this. But the regulations adopted by the last administration have eliminated this possibility. We submitted 31 policies under the meaningful enforceable policy. 26 of the 31 we proposed for our coastal plan revision were denied, including all important habitat designations and some of the important subsistence use areas. And we have been formally notified and informed that of the five remaining policies that are considered, they must be changed significantly before they will be approved. So that is part of our frustrations in the current process. The bill also puts air and water quality permits back in the ACMP process. Since the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation permits have been removed from the consistency review process, there's been a lot of confusion. For example, we have been told that we can no longer comment on the effects of a potential oil spill on habitat or subsistence. something of this import that we have no say. The North Slope Borough also supports the provisions in the bill to reestablish a coastal policy council. The former council, we believe, was effective in approving coastal district plans and establishing policy because it was composed of both state government staff and locally elected officials. Finally, House Bill 243 makes it clear that all outer continental shelf activities affecting coastal resources or uses would be considered in the ACMP reviews, and we support that. Currently, as it stands, as a result of changes to the program, certain effects from offshore oil and gas activities are no longer considered. And you've heard of the latest Chuck GC lease sale on the OCS of $2.66 billion, and I believe rightfully we have a concern in that area. In closing, I want you, the committee members and chair, to know that I have the greatest respect for Department of Natural Resources Commissioner Tom Irwin and have appreciated his willingness to work with us, the North Slope Borough, on a number of other issues. It's been very helpful. About coastal zone management, however, just suffice to say that I'm very encouraged by this bill, and I hope that the committee will approve it. Again, I thank you for your time, and I'm open for questions. I have a couple of staff people with me here, and also I believe we have online the director for the North Slope Borough Planning and Zoning Department. So with that, Mr. Chairman, thank you once again.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And if you would leave a copy of your written testimony.
I believe we have that submitted Thank it you. In there.
Thank we have you. Some questions from the committee. Representative sure. Roses.
Thank you. I found it a little interesting and a little puzzling at the same time that you said that 26 out of the 31 plans that you had submitted had been denied.
Yes.
Can you give me an example of one of those plans and what the contentious issue was in it that caused it to be denied?
Okay, this is where I'll have to turn to my staff to get specific, and I would ask, with your permission, Mr. Chair, I believe at the Barrow LIO office, we have a director of planning, Johnny Aiken. Are you on, Johnny?
Yeah, Johnny, are you there?
This is Barrett Rischoff for the record. I am the from the Law Department of North Slope Borough, and if Johnny's not there on the phone, maybe I could be of assistance and give you an example of one of the policies that got denied.
Go ahead, and you are with, would you identify yourself one more time and who you're with again?
Sure. My name is Barrett Rischoff, and I am in the Law Department of North Slope Borough, and I've been working closely with Johnny in looking at our policies. The mayor spoke correctly. I think he used the word plan instead of policy, but all of our policies, no policy was approved as a whole. They were denied, and some of them were partially approved. But some of the policies that were most important to us, just to give an example, subsistence is very important to us. And originally, the guidance from DNR suggested that we could have a general subsistence policy and a subsistence use designation. And we had made a policy saying, when there are potentially conflicting uses, subsistence use of plants, fish, and wildlife, including marine mammals, shall be the highest priority use of the lands and the waters in the coastal area. And this was disapproved for being not clear or enforceable and for conflicting with the state subsistence standard. And this is one of the policies we seek to address through the mediation process.
Follow-up, Representative Roses.
Thank you. Would you say that of the 26 that were denied, how many of those were denied for similar reasons with subsistence statements in them?
There were about, many of the policies were directly related to subsistence, but I guess, I don't know if this answers your question, but most of the policies were denied for kind of general reasons, like just general statements that said they didn't comply with state or federal law, or they conflicted with the state subsistence standard. But the reasons for denial were pretty similar for each policy. They weren't given a lot of individual consideration.
Thank you.
Representative Faircloth.
Mr. Chairman, mine was similar. I was wondering if we could get a list of all 31 policies and a denial or approval from the Department of why they were denying and approved. That would be helpful to see what the issues
Yes,
are.
We can, and we will get them to you. Thank you.
Thank you. And if you'd bring that to my office, we'll certainly distribute
okay.
it.
We'll have Marla be bringing those to you. Thank you.
Representative Guttenberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Hello.
Yeah, is this, this must be Johnny.
Yes, this is Johnny. I was trying to
stand by.
Respond, but I just wanted the mayor to know that I'm here.
Okay.
yeah. Well, he, hello, Johnny. Thank you.
That's job
Lighten
security.
Up there, yeah.
Representative Guttenberg.
Thank
please.
You.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. You know, when we passed 191, your concerns were exactly the ones we heard expressed 5 years ago. My question is dealing with this list that we received from DNR just a little while ago, and perhaps you haven't seen it, but it lists the plan status. And I was wondering if you or somebody else could address the issue of the ones that are in mediation and what is being mediated and the differences and how that process has been going.
Okay, I'd be glad to, and this is one that the Director of Planning, Johnny Aiken, who's online now, can address. If you could, Director Aiken.
Johnny, are you still with us?
Yes, I am.
Please, did you hear the question?
A little bit of it, but okay, well, I appreciate hearing it again.
Okay, Representative Guttenberg, would you restate your question, please?
Thank you. We have a list from the Department of Natural Resources. And one of them is, it's on plant list of the plans that are in and their status. And it lists the North Slope Borough as in mediation with your plan. Could you talk a little bit about what is in mediation, where the conflicts are, and how you perceive your working relationship with the state departments are over these issues?
And Johnny, this is Barrett from the Law Department. I can help you answer that if you want to go ahead and take a shot at it first.
Okay. Thanks, Barrett. Appreciate you being there. But I would just like to say that the Coastal Management Program is a very important tool for the North Slope Borough. And policies that we can use during a consistency review is important because it gives us the ability to steer development in a way that our people would be a little more comfortable with the project or the development. And from our experience in dealing with the Coastal Management Program, I consider the Coastal Management Program as a very important and useful tool. At least it was that way a few years ago before the last administration revised their program. And this is why we have been fighting or working towards having the policies we want in our program. This is a seat at the table for the districts.
Thank you.
So we have not been able to get the policies we want in the program, and so this is why we're going into the mediation process. It seems that the rules have changed constantly when we try to get a policy approved. We have had numerous meetings with the Department of Natural Resources to work with them to try to get our policies approvable. And, you know, this is not one meeting, this is not two meetings, this is like six or seven or eight meetings. And it has been about 3 or 4, maybe 5 years since we have been working on our coastal management program. To tell you the truth, I am very leery of going into the reevaluation process and the mediation process because of what we have gone through thus far. I'm afraid that it will be business as usual and things will not change. I'm really afraid of that.
Thank you, Johnny. Barrett, would you like to take a stab at answering Representative Gutenberg's question about what project?
I'll just add to, for the record, Barrett Ristroff, and thank you for this chance to add to what our director, Johnny Aiken, had said. Just procedurally, the mediation is scheduled to take place April 15th, or at least that will be the first date that we're scheduled to meet together. And the main areas that I think the North Slope Borough is planning to focus on is the disagreement with DNR as to whether our policies are consistent with state and federal law. DNR suggests that because one agency has the authority to make regulations on a certain area, this precludes any local district from making any regulations on the area on that area of policy, and we disagree with that. We also are in disagreement about the scope of the regulations and how they've strayed somewhat from the legislative intent, and then how the guidance of DNR has changed over time. Initially, they put sample policies on the website that we might be able to use, such as one allowing us to have the subsistence priority. Then those were removed from the website, and the guidance has changed over the past couple of years. We think that without DNR's approval of our plan, and in the absence of any specific state law providing for important habitat use and or for important habitat and subsistence use in our borough, there's simply inadequate protection of the resources which the people here depend on.
Thank you. Does that answer your question?
Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Seaton?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess the mayor and whether you or one of your staff want to talk about this, you mentioned that you're relying on Title 29 planning and zoning functions to serve for protection for your borough, since your plans are basically being denied by, or your enforceable policies are being denied under the ACMP. Can you explain a little bit of how you're using your planning and zoning functions and whether that requires someone that wishes to do a development to come forward for separate permitting or outside of the ACMP process?
Sure, I'd be glad to, and I would designate this question back again to the current director of our planning department, who worked for a whole number of years under the permitting and zoning division of the planning department. So, Director Aiken, if you could specifically respond to the representative's question, please.
We have our own planning and zoning processes within the North Slope Borough, where we have our own policies, and whenever we're issuing any permits, we use this title as our guideline in stipulating the projects. And Gordon is here too, if he wants to add in.
Yeah, this is Gordon Brower for the record. I work under Johnny's management as the land management regulations manager for the planning department, North Slope Borough. As we do implement our Title 19, and currently we do have numerous policies that were incorporated into Title 19 that came from the original North Slope Borough Coastal Management Program, which no longer exists as of last year, September 1st. But we still use those policies, even though those particular policies in our old plan have gone away. The one thing that I worry about is our ability to reach outside of our three-mile boundary, and that's one of the things concerning the DEC carve-out, where we're not able to reach out there. But we do try and submit some of the Title 19 policies under coastal management review, and sometimes that's that's not very effective. If that would answer your questions, if you needed more detail, I can maybe refer that to Barrett if she wanted to add a little more.
Representative Seaton, follow up?
Yeah, maybe Barrett could let me know whether you are able to use your Title 29 planning and zoning functions to, and whether you're actually forced to do that, to incorporate those subsistence and habitat policies and concerns and require a separate permitting process since they're not allowed currently under the Coastal Zone Management Plan.
Thank you. This is Barrett. Just to clarify on the numbering, we've been talking about Title 29, and maybe that refers to Title 29 of the Alaska Statutes, which sets forth the limitations on the home rule powers of or the powers for the home rule boroughs, and 29.35.180 is what allows us to regulate land use. So that's our source of authority. Now, within our own municipal code, the title would be Title 19, not Title 29, and that is what sets forth these limits, and as Gordon said, they were part of the old coastal management plan, and I think you're getting it correctly, that these are the bases for our permits, and because as of right now, we have no coastal management plan whatsoever, so we're relying on our Title 19 to send developers through the permitting process. We're relying on our Title 19 policies to put stipulations to protect habitat and subsistence use in all of the permits. And as you can imagine, this is kind of a source of friction because once somebody's gone through the trouble to get a state permit and a federal permit, then they have to come back to the borough and start working with this local permit.
Thank you, Brent. I think that gets to the heart of the question. Representative Edgeman?
Yes, my question is related to the question I asked Director Bates, and that was about timeline, sort of playing this out how it may go well into 2009, 2010, and that's assuming that the bill doesn't, the bill even makes it through and so forth. And just hearing that 26 of 31 policies were rejected, and then the other five were conditionally approved. Your district plan is in mediation. I know from what I read about the Beaufort offshore drilling and the concerns with the bowhead whale and so forth. What's your desire to see a vehicle like this go through? Or, I mean, for my edification, are you supportive of the aggressive plan that the DNR is proposing at this point, or would you like to see something happen faster?
No, in all due respect to Commissioner Irwin and his intent to do it right, I support this approach over the proposed process, mainly because of the comment you mentioned. At a minimum, it's 2 to 3 years. And I share my Director Aiken's frustrations and anxieties that this bill, I believe, would give us better reassurance and better opportunity for more input, meaningful input, into doing it right, if you will. So appreciate your question. I hope I answered what you asked.
You did. Thank you.
Thank you. Any additional questions for the mayor? Mr. Mayor, thank you. I appreciate any time you
come. Thank you again, Mr. Chairman, committee members.
We always love guests.
Okay.
With that, I would like to go to John Chase in Kotzebue with the Northwest Arctic Borough. Mr. Chase, are you on?
I am on.
Would you please identify yourself and who you represent and provide your testimony, please?
Okay, Co-Chairs Gatto and Johnson and members of the House Resources Committee. For the record, my name is John Chase. Just like Mayor Itta, I too am a hunter. I'm a coastal area specialist for the Northwest Arctic Borough. Planning Director Tom Okolesik asked me to testify today because he is traveling and unable to attend this meeting. The Northwest Arctic Borough supports House Bill 243, and we urge you to pass this bill out of committee today. Our proposed coastal management plan is currently in mediation. We requested mediation because only one of the 50 proposed enforceable policies we proposed was approved by the Department of Natural Resources and almost all of the designated areas were disapproved. Let me repeat that. Only one of the 50 proposed enforceable policies we proposed was approved, and almost all of the proposed designated areas were disapproved. Without approved subsistence use designations, our impacts to subsistence uses cannot be addressed during an ACMP review. Earlier this year, DNR testified to the Senate Committee and Regional Affairs Committee. That the ACMP regulations are more stringent than what was intended by legislation passed in 2003. Since DNR has made no effort to revise the non-complying regulations, we believe it is important that the legislature pass House Bill 243. This bill would clarify the approval criteria for district plans, and it would establish a coastal policy board with members from coastal districts and state agencies. We believe these two changes would fix the problems we have experienced with the plan approval. Thank you for the opportunity to testify in support of House Bill 243. Again, the Northwest Arctic Borough urges you to pass this bill out of committee today. We are not.
Mr. Chase, if you'd stand by, I think there may be a question. Representative Faircloth.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's consistent with the last question. Mr. Chase, could you provide the committee a copy of the 50 enforceable policies that you submitted? And then we'd be asking our department for clarification on why they were rejected.
Okay. I'll let you know right now. I'm in Anchorage at the Legislative Information Office. I'm not in the COPCB office. But if you can give me some contact information, we can give you copies of the 50 policies.
Okay. It's 465. 4872 is the fax number.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Seaton.
I just wanted to ask a quick question on this point. Does DNR have the listing of all of the policies that were there and were rejected? Instead of asking these coastal policies to fax them in, if we can just get them from DNR.
Representative Seaton, that is appropriate idea, and I think we're getting affirmation that they do have that. So, but I would like to get those ones that are under review, and let the record reflect that
Randy Bates
is shaking his head affirmatively. So he's a long way from the microphone. Representative Gutenberg.
Sorry, and just not just the number, but the details also as well. Of what was approved, what wasn't approved, and why. But Mr. Chair, this is an illustration of one of the things I see what was wrong with the changes that we did, is that you have a borough or a coastal zone region meeting to determine their local priorities, whatever they are.
Representative Gutenberg, I'd certainly like to get through public testimony, okay, if I could. And I appreciate, and you'll have an opportunity to stick around as long as you want, but the people that are here from the public, I would certainly like to give them an opportunity to speak.
Okay, I would like to get that question to the department before we leave.
Okay, and I anticipate an up and down shaking of head here from the audience, and that is affirmative.
Mr. Chairman, just very quickly, is this our one hearing on the bill today?
This is the one hearing we're going to hear on the bill today, but I am going to hold it open pending what happens in rig review and some other things. I'm not going to close public testimony, but we will keep this open, and if we need to bring it back up to turn the heat up a little bit, we certainly can do that. Thank you. Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There was just something brought up in Mr. Chase's testimony that I wasn't quite familiar with. You were talking about the enforceable policies was one of 50, and the designated areas. Could you just give us a little bit of understanding of what you meant by the designated areas, and if you had if there's any parameters on the denying of those?
To be honest with you, I just started this job 4 weeks ago.
Wow.
my planning director, my supervisor, Tom Okalisa, could probably answer your question. I'm not sure of the designated areas and that information. What I do know is that out of those designated areas, there was only one area designated, and that was by Buckland. And
thank you, and Mr. Chase. If you could, maybe draft a memo and get it to us, or I don't know that it's that urgent. Maybe we can get it through the department. Is there anyone else online to testify? Is that all we have online? Okay, thank you. I think in the audience we have Chris Krentz with Oceana. Please identify yourself and tell us what Oceana is as well.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Chris Krentz. I'm the Arctic Project Manager for Oceana. Oceana is an organization that is dedicated to protecting the world's oceans. I just would like to issue a brief statement of support for House Bill 243. With global climate change and an increasing world population adding pressures on our natural ecosystems, we feel it is of critical importance that local communities have a voice in the way that the resources that they depend on are developed, to ensure that those resources are developed in a sustainable way. Local coastal communities used to have the major deciding voice in how responsible coastal development could happen in Alaska, and that system worked. I think we heard about that earlier from the mayor. And protecting it worked in protecting and maintaining the health of Alaska's marine ecosystems and the opportunities for a subsistence way of life. Two-thirds of Alaskans, representing more than 250 communities, live on our coasts. Local communities should have the ability to protect our natural resources, our existing uses of coastal waters, and our way of life. And that's why we support House Bill 243. Thank you.
Questions? Representative Faircloth? Before you get started, would you also leave your testimony in writing if we could?
I can write it out for you.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, I haven't heard of Oceana. Could you tell me how many members in Alaska you have?
I'm not positive on the numbers of members that we have in Alaska. Worldwide, we have over 300,000 members.
Do you have more than 10 in Alaska,
we
or less
have
than 100?
More than 10. I'm guessing it's in the hundreds, but I can find out and let you know.
And to become a member of Oceana, do you have a membership, or do you donate, or is it an online registration?
Online, you can register to become a wave maker, and those are the wave makers is where the 300,000 come from, and you're of course welcome to
donate
to our organization as well.
I knew I would be. Do you have a website address so that we can?
Yes, it's www.oceana, O-C-E-A-N-A, .org.
And I assure you, Representative Faircloth, that you do qualify as a wave maker. So.
That's a nice way of saying it, Mr. Chairman.
Just follow up, Representative Faircloth.
Need to sign up.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And can you tell me how long you've lived in Alaska?
I've lived in Alaska for 2 years.
And do you live in Juneau? Or?
I live in Juneau.
Terrific. Thank you.
Any additional questions? Thank you. I appreciate your testimony.
Thank you.
Terry Carney with the City and Borough of Juneau, I understand. Thank you, Terry. If you would identify yourself again and who you represent exactly and present your testimony, please.
Thank you for the opportunity to testify. My name is Terry Camery. I'm a planner with the City and Borough of Juneau. I have been part of the Coastal Management Program since 2000, so I'm very familiar with the changes that have taken place. I'll make my comments as brief as possible. I really appreciate your efforts in reviewing this bill today. City and Borough of Juneau does support this bill. We believe that the measures in this bill go a long way to restoring the integrity of the program. It certainly clarifies a lot of confusion over what types of district policies can be allowed. We believe that these provisions would have eliminated the most serious problems that Juneau has had for the last 4 years. It wasn't mentioned earlier, but City and Borough of Juneau did go through the mediation process to defend specifically the policies of the Juneau Wetland Management Plan or Program. That mediation effort was successful. Even with that successful mediation effort, though, our original 99 policy plan is down to, I believe, 12 policies. And that's after mediation. This bill addresses concerns that districts have raised repeatedly over the years, both individually and through the Alaska Coastal District Association. We believe it's really important to restore the Coastal Policy Council, certainly very important to bring DEC back into the review process. It's caused major problems. I could give you specific examples here in Juneau of where the DEC carve-out has caused significant problems and delays in the reviews. Certainly has not made it any easier for the developers. It's created lots of issues there. In regards to some comments that were made earlier, I'd like to emphasize that for Juneau, the ACMP has always played a critical role in facilitating development. I can think of a number of quite controversial projects that were located in sensitive habitat, and the ACMP served this very important role of bringing all the reviewing agencies together to work with the developer and work out a compromise solution that would allow the development to go forward and still protect that most critical habitat in the area. The Auk Bay Seafood Processing Plant is one example. Another CBJ major docking development next to the seafood processing plant, which was even closer, right in the middle of the sensitive eelgrass habitat. That's another project where ACMP played a critical role, and certainly all our cruise ship docks. I guess lastly, I would like to say that I feel that this bill represents a major difference between the former administration, which was really quite adversarial to a local role in the program, versus the Palin administration, which appears to believe in a more bottom-up approach to local government. I know the Alaska Constitution calls for maximum local governance, and I think that this bill is really important to restoring that proper balance. I guess the last comment, maybe I already said that, that was my second to last comment, is that I really appreciate DNR's efforts to launch its own reevaluation. I feel that the issues that have been raised here have been brought up repeatedly over and over and over again the past number of years by the districts from the very beginning with the passage of SB 191 and on through since then. So I just don't see the purpose and need to revisit all that again. Those concerns are very well documented in countless letters, and I just don't see how a continued delay in fixing these problems serves anyone's interest, least of all the development community. And I'm sorry. I keep doing that. I apologize. And I know you're short on time, but I just remembered Representative Seaton's question about policies and local code. It was the decision of the CBJ Assembly and Planning Commission to keep the policies that the state rejected in the Coastal Management Program in our local code. So our 99 policies remain in code. So we have a sparse or no review through the Coastal Management Program as far as local policies adopted into that program. But our whole former program is in place in local code. So that creates a whole separate review process for the developer. So it's certainly done anything but streamlined development. It's complicated measures for the developer.
Thank you. And just for the record, this bill is not sponsored by the governor. And I believe that the administration is on record of being opposed to it. So I just want to make sure that we're
sorry.
Not trying to.
I misrepresented that.
I don't know that you misrepresented it, but I wanted to make sure that it was accurately reported. Representative Faircloth?
Thank you. And thank you for your testimony in front of Community and Regional Affairs, Terry. This goes to what I was asking when I originally sat down with Representative Jewell. In the e-version, Mr. Chairman, on page 8, line 16 through 20. Could I hand it to Terry so she knows what I'm talking about?
Sure.
Okay.
E,
someone who testified in Community or Regional Affairs after you, I'm not sure which, but those were my comments, had said that DEC already does some of the things that you had addressed before the Community and Regional Affairs Committee, and you talked about it today in quality, in water quality, and air quality.
Mm-hmm.
And they, in the notes that I took, a testimony that followed you, were saying this is already in current law and DEC already manages those. Could you speak to that at all so I understand where that other testimony was coming from?
I think maybe the best thing I could do is give you an example. I'm not really qualified to pick apart these words and the differences in this, but the example that I've brought up over and over again, and DEC is well aware of this, is that City and Borough of Juneau has 5 impaired water bodies, and DEC has specific authority over those impaired water bodies. They have what's called a TMDL document that governs how those water bodies will be managed to address those concerns. We've had certainly a number of developments right along those impaired water bodies, and there was a case just in this last year where we went through the entire coastal management program review process and issued a consistency review in favor of that project. And then after that review was completed, DEC issued a denial. Now, DEC's done nothing wrong. I'm not seeking to blame them. That just speaks to the problems with the process. DEC is not an active participant in the Coastal Management Program review. So while all the other rest of the agencies were actively working out major concerns with this development, it was gravel mining in a salmon stream, DEC then, after that whole process was finished, issued their denial. Now their decision later went through a number of changes, but you can imagine what the developer went through over that. And if DEC had been part of the process and had been able to work with the agencies and the developer during the course of that review, that would have changed everything. So that has been my personal experience in the Coastal Management Program with this issue.
Follow-up, Representative Fairclough.
Mr. Chairman, just for the record, I'll wait and ask. I appreciate the response. I'll wait and ask for DEC because someone on the record said that DEC already manages those, but I understand you're saying there's collision in how that management is happening.
Representative Desmond, did you have a question?
Yeah, I wanted to ask the obvious question. You mentioned a moment ago how the Coastal Zone Management Program can act to, they can play a critical role in facilitating development of projects. Kensington Mine, would the program pre House Bill 191 have been able to facilitate that project or play a positive role in your estimation?
I appreciate the question. Now, I have never been involved in the mining reviews in my department. That's always been elevated to a higher level above me because of the nature of it. I know local districts under HB 191 are not allowed to write local enforceable policies on mining. That has been completely taken out. So while we have a section regarding mining in our local code, that's not part of the Coastal Management Program process.
At present, but I was...
Right. So in the past, that would have been part of the coordinated review.
Okay. Well, I think she answered my question.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Any additional questions? Is there Representative Bettenberg?
Thank you. On the denials that you received for your local your policies, was there any theme that ran through those denials?
I could give you the short version. Certainly, many policies were cut out again because of the DEC carve out. Anything that even indirectly addressed water or air quality was just immediately cut out, and you can see that just doesn't make sense. From a local involvement perspective, certainly local communities have a strong interest in air and water quality. And those policies were deleted across the board. That was a major cut. Districts could not have policies that were addressed by state and federal law. Well, that had been interpreted in many different ways by DNR. That's part of the confusion that this bill would help clear up. But anything that state and federal agencies had authority over, again, was eliminated. The district would have to show that they were addressing something that state and federal agencies didn't look at all. It's a very tough test to meet, and again, subject to varying interpretations. So I would say those were the two biggest reasons.
Representative Seaton.
Thank you. One of the issues that came up with designated areas or habitat types, was that one of the things that you kept in? Let me back up. My understanding is that previously under ACMP, a area could determine that eelgrass beds, for example, which are very sensitive but also very necessary for many species in their area, either subsistence or commercial or whatever, that no longer could those habitat types be designated as under a policy of concern, that you could only designate a particular piece of eelgrass where you could show definitive use or definitive scientific evidence that there was a particular problem in that area, or that you could demonstrate that eelgrass, that particular part of that eelgrass bed had been used. Is that one of the things that was denied under the new regime?
I think I understand your question correctly. City and Borough of Juneau didn't specifically address any eelgrass issues, although we could have. It certainly comes up a lot. I mean, you're correct in that the program doesn't allow you to designate any type of habitat across the board. You can't say, for example, that all eelgrass in the City and Borough of Juneau is automatically subject to this policy. You have to go through very rigorous mapping requirements and documenting evidence for each one of those units. Certainly the designated areas has been a huge issue for all the districts. That was one of our biggest problems with getting approval of the wetland management plan, even though that plan has vast scientific documentation and has been in place since 1992. It's been a major obstacle for all the districts. I'm not sure if I answered your question.
Could you just define for us a little bit? I mean, we're not all familiar with designated areas, what that means and what the kind of parameter is on that.
Okay. I hope I can explain this correctly. If I can't, this is one more, this just kind of explains one more reason why the program needs to be tidied up, because it is so difficult to explain. But in order for a district to have a habitat policy, you have to first have a designated area. You can't have any general habitat policies. You have to lay out the designated area with all its scientific backup as well as thorough mapping. And that designated area has to be accepted before you can develop a habitat policy that applies to it. And then habitat policies have their own set of requirements, but you can't even look toward a habitat policy until you have a designated area.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. Any additional questions? Is there anyone else? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate you coming. Is there anyone else in the audience? I have no one else on the list who wishes to testify. I have no one else online, and I am not going to close public testimony in the event that we need to come back and revisit this in the future. Representative Jewell, do you have anything to say in closing, briefly?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I promise it'll take less than an hour.
Excellent. I'm sure of that.
That I can get. Yeah. Thank you for hearing the bill today. I really do appreciate it. I think you're beginning to get an idea of the breadth of frustration that coastal communities are feeling, and the lack of being able to participate in a lot of their futures, and by being able to address some of the issues that are very near and dear to them. I think that the one thing that has been proven over the life of the prior ACMP is that people want to be part of a process, and we have a great future in this state. We have and as it comes to the coastal communities and development of our resources, we'd like to be a part of that process. And as you've heard from the public testimony today, it's necessary that agencies be working together, not in isolation, because that isolation can actually slow down some places of where we want to get. Thank you for hearing the bill today, and would...
Okay, question, Representative Rosas?
No, not a question, a comment. I certainly, when Director Bates was up earlier, I had said I would withhold a question that I had, and now I would rather just make a statement rather than ask a question. But I certainly hope that the testimony that's been given today and the concerns of people have been stated will be taken into account when they go back and start reviewing these regulations here at the meetings that they're going to be having, because it certainly, we can certainly sense the frustration when you hear of only one policy being approved out of 50, you know, or two or three policies that are being approved out of 30, and the kind of statements that we've been hearing. There's no wonder at the frustration. I would be equally frustrated as well, so I certainly hope that these things will be taken into consideration, and that I will be anxiously awaiting a report back on that review.
Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just for a little clarification on reg review, I am the vice chairman, the House vice chair for reg review, and I think that you ought to keep the bill hot, because reg review, the courts have found that although we have a reg review committee, a joint committee, House and Senate, the only way that we can overturn those regulations or change them is through a bill. So the bill that you have before you is, whether it's amended, would be a necessary vehicle for the Regulation Review Committee if they find that there's necessity and that the regulations that have been adopted are inconsistent with the statutes that were adopted previously. But the only way we can change those as a legislature is through a bill. And so I appreciate that very much. And I would just like to make one quick statement, and that is that I fully think that the individual agency and the sister agencies, if they have problems with this bill, they should be coming forward with us with amendments to the bill and with the justifications for those amendments, instead of just saying, don't do anything, legislature, and give us more time, because there's been ample frustration, as we've all heard, and I hope that we will come out with the best possible bill, but the way we do that is for the administration to identify those areas that are of concern and with specific amendment language. And so I thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, thank you, and I hope no one is misinterpreted us not hearing this as not keeping this bill hot, because it is something that we do need to address. I too believe that communities need to have involvement. I'm very pro-development, but I think that if you're going to have development in your backyard, you need to have a say. I encourage the department to work on regulations before the 2010 presentation that might soften some of this and might result in a better piece of legislation coming out when you do bring it before the legislator or whoever's sitting in this chair in the future. But if you have a couple of years to write regulations under the laws that you have, and I think there's some softening that can be done there as well. Representative Jewell, thank you for bringing the bill forward. If there's nothing else to come before the committee, we will stand in adjournment at 3:20. Thank everyone for your patience.
Hold the chair. And